Welcome to the Daily Word from the Fountain, heard weekdays at 4 p.m. on Life Radio WIFI. Stay tuned for today's encouraging and inspirational message.
Well, we're ready to jump into week number 3 of Goliath Must Fall. Everybody say, Goliath Must Fall. What we're doing in this series is talking about giants in our life, and we're using the backdrop of the story of David and Goliath. Now, let me ask a question. How many in the church have heard about the story of David and Goliath? Raise your hand, wave big. I think almost everybody has heard about David and Goliath, even people that don't go to church. In fact, I heard the other day that there's a New York Times bestseller called David and Goliath. I think almost everybody has heard about it. But the cool thing is about David and Goliath, this is more than a Bible story. This is a snapshot or a picture of our salvation provided by God through Jesus Christ to render every giant powerless in our life. Let me walk you through it just a little bit. See, in this story, we see a teenage boy take down a 9-foot giant and he falls. Then all of the Israelites get brave and they chase after the enemy, and they defeat the enemy. We're going to do that at the end of the service, brother. We got you. See, they're asking me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. I'm preaching this thing. Are you ready for this? I came lit. Pastor Johnny always hangs his head when I say I'm lit. I didn't say lit. I said lit. But you know, God puts everything in the scriptures on purpose for a purpose. And so if he put the story of David and Goliath, he did it because he wanted to show us a picture of something in the New Testament. You see, everything in the Old Testament is a snapshot or a picture of the reality we have in the New Testament. Now, you heard in the video, we are not David. David, in the story of David and Goliath, really is a picture of Jesus, watch, taking down Goliath, who is a picture of Satan, really, or the enemy of sin and death and everything that comes out of darkness. When David slew the giant, he did it with a stone. When Jesus defeated the devil, he did it with a cross. Somebody say amen out loud. And we, if David represents Jesus and Goliath represents sin, death, and darkness, I'll tell you who we are. We're the scared Israelites in our tent. But when David defeated Goliath, the Israelites ran out of there and they pursued the enemy and they lived in victory. When Jesus destroyed the powers of hell, sin, and death on the cross, we rise up and move forward in his victory. Oh, isn't the Lord good? You see, everybody, in the Old Testament, Jesus is concealed. But in the New Testament, he is revealed. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. And we're talking about giants. Everybody in this room, the minute I said giant, you know you have one. A giant is an enemy of the soul. It's crazy how things creep into our lives that don't belong. Before we know it, we're living a life that is much less than what Jesus had planned for us. And the giant we're going to deal with today, are you ready? Are you ready? I didn't work 10 hours on this for you not to be ready. It's the giant of rejection. And rejection must fall. Everybody say it out loud. Rejection must fall. It is a very real giant. It's a very real giant to almost every one of us in the room here today. You might say, well, I don't deal with rejection, Pastor. Wait, wait, wait. Rejection has cousins. They're called insecurity. The cousin of inferiority, low self-esteem, low self-worth, the cousin of self-hate. Oh, then there's the other cousin called driven. The person that has to succeed at everything just to prove to somebody that you're good enough, worthy enough, or wanted enough. These are all related to the giant of rejection. They all are like this Goliath and everybody who works for him. There's really either real rejection in our life. You might say, I was dropped off by my parents at an adoption agency. My ex walked out on me. My kids have shut off conversation with me. My business partner doesn't talk to me. My boss terminated my position. That's real rejection. But now let's move over, because maybe you're not dealing with real rejection, but the fear of rejection. How many know we live in a performance-based culture? We live in a performance-based culture, and the fear of rejection says this: if I don't get it right, I won't get the approval I so desperately long for. Anybody ever been rejected? Give me a wave. Anybody in the room afraid of rejection? Yeah, a few of you raised your hand. And you know, that's one that I want to say I have dealt with, but I deal with that one, the fear of rejection. Oftentimes I'm invited to go to several times a year to go preach at other events, or whether it's a conference or a men's breakfast or another church revival or whatever. And I always have that bit of fear that, what if they don't like me? Anybody ever have that fear? Am I the only one in the room? You know, what if they don't receive the word from me? What if I'm not accepted by them? And you know, I got to tell you that sometimes I feel it, the fear of rejection even here. And then when I step out onto this, well, you know, they call it a stage, and I know we've done a lot of plays here, but I don't like the word stage, because stages are for performance. And I'm not a performer. I'm a preacher of the gospel. Stages are for performance, but altars are for influence. And when I come out here, I'm not coming out here on a stage to perform for you. I'm coming out on the altar to present God's word to you. Amen to that. But you know, sometimes there's that fear of rejection. Well, what if nobody says amen, or nobody posts anything on Facebook about what I said? What if they don't clap? Or I have my own insecurities, and I only am what I am today by the grace of God. And so there's a fear of rejection. And pastors say, give me an amen. You know, why they say that? They give me an amen. In other words, approve of how I'm doing. Interesting. How do you know you're dealing with the giant of rejection? There are certain phrases that dominate the landscape of your mind. Maybe the wrong person said the wrong words to you at one time, and somehow it has shaped your life. The wrong words said by the wrong person. And I want you to hear this today, because you know what I believe? I believe this church right here, you all, that this body is teeming with leaders, teeming with servants, with people that you have more potential than you can imagine. But many of us are so afraid of being rejected that if we step into ministry, I won't perform well, I won't do well, they won't accept me, they might reject me. And you know what we do? We retreat into a place called safety. Because if I retreat, it's safe. Whenever you step out, get ready, if you step out and do anything for God, you will face the possibility of rejection. And I believe that if we can get over the fear of rejection, we can step into the full potential God has for us. Can somebody say amen to that? That's not because you tell me how good I'm doing. That's the truth right there. If we can come out of the fear of rejection, we could step into God's full potential for our lives. Somehow those seeds planted in our mind, they've shaped our thinking. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough, not skinny enough. I'm not wanted enough. I'm not worthy enough. Somehow, the wrong person saying the wrong words can shape a person's thinking and thought processes for the rest of their life. And I want to tell you today, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen to that. I think I know where the root of rejection came from. And I talked to you about this giant, and this giant must fall. You'll talk about it in your life groups this week, because I believe that if we can defeat the giant of rejection, I believe that it could catapult you into your destiny. The root of rejection, it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. How many remember Adam and Eve? At least wave, raise your hand, help the short, white, bald guy out. How many remember Adam and Eve? Thank you, Jesus. Is my microphone on? And remember, they were created in the image of God, walking with God. They had a perfect world. They had a perfect life. Bees didn't sting, no thorns, no thistles. When they reached for a raspberry, they didn't get ouched by a thorn. It was the perfect life. It was the perfect world. And then the serpent showed up. Remember, the serpent showed up and said, did God tell you you could eat of every tree? They said, oh yeah, we can eat of every tree in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, what would happen if you eat of that tree, the serpent says. God says, in that day we will surely die. And Satan said, you won't surely die. Let me paraphrase this. And the serpent says, let me tell you why God said don't eat of the tree. He told you don't eat of the tree because when you eat it, you will be like God. In other words, Satan planted a seed in the minds of Adam and Eve, telling them something's missing in your life. God did not create you the way that you should be or could be. He left something out. Walk with me. Where's the root of rejection? The root of rejection is at the fall, when Satan whispered these words of inferiority. Well, God's, he doesn't want you to eat the tree because then you're going to be at another level. You'll be like God. In other words, he came up short when he made you. Something is missing in your life. You are not enough. And so the seed of inferiority was planted at the beginning of the fall. And today, it continues in the minds of so many believers. I'm not enough. Something's missing in my life. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. What they should have answered the serpent, they should have said right away, God created us and he said it is very good. We have been made in the image and likeness of God. He has stamped divinity in us. Plants don't have that. Animals don't have that. The stars don't have that. God planted his image in us, and that is miraculous. That's what they should have said. Here's what we know. Adam and Eve's lives could not have been improved upon one iota, but a seed was planted in their mind that they weren't enough. Are you with me? So they bought into the lie, and the root of rejection was there. And then they end up comparing themselves to an unreal image that the devil painted in their mind. And we compare ourselves to unreal images all the time on social media. Come on, somebody. When I was eight years old, I had about 30 people to compare myself with, 8 cousins and 22 people in my third grade class. But now I got a whole world to compare myself with, because the whole world has entered your world. And have you ever noticed that people always put their best pictures out on Instagram? How many ever take a selfie and post it on Instagram or Facebook? Come on, let me see. How many? Let me ask you another question. Come on. Come on. Yeah. How many of you put the first pic you take out? No. We take several. Pew. Ooh, not enough of the tree and me. And we take another one. Ooh, the sun kind of made my bald head look too shiny. Let's move over into the shade. And we take another one. And then we say, oh, my wife says my hair was blown in my face. And so we move the hair, and then we take another one. And we don't get the right picture until we take about 8 of them, and we go through them. Let's post that one, because we want everybody to think we got a perfect life. And you're comparing yourself to people out there on social media. That's not real living. And mothers are the worst. What are you talking about, Russ? Oh, yeah. Oh, the mother says, I was at a flea market today, and I bought this old table, mid-century table. I brought it home and sanded it down and varnished it, and I sat all my kids around the table in their best Sunday clothes. And let me take a picture of the gazebo that my husband made in the middle of the night while we were all sleeping. And here's a picture of my perfect kids sitting at the perfect table. And we go, oh, I wish I had a perfect family like that, you know. But the real deal is those kids tore their clothes off in the playground afterward. One of them lit the couch on fire. The mother hadn't taken a shower yet, still in her bathrobe, no makeup on. Instagram that. No, no. Wait. So we were at the shore last week, and my wife said, wait, my hair's not right. And I said, yeah, mine either. I got wavy hair. It's waving goodbye. And so we took about 8 shots, Joe, and then we put it out on Instagram and Facebook. See, we don't put bad pictures of ourselves on Instagram. I think they should call it Insecurity-gram. Maybe Insecurity-gram rather than Instagram. Because everybody wants to post their perfect life, and then we end up comparing our messed up life to their perfect life. And I'll tell you what, if you compare yourself to the people on social media, you're going to end up getting stuck in life. And how does it feel when you get a lot of likes? Thank you for being honest. Wow, I got 175 likes on that pic. And when you get all these likes, you've got these 4 happy brain chemicals being released, you know.
We hope you enjoyed the Daily Word from the Fountain. The Fountain of Life is located at 2035 Columbus Road in Burlington, New Jersey. Pastor Russ would love to meet you this Sunday at either of our 9 or 11 a.m. services. For directions or more information, please feel free to contact us by calling 609-499-2131. Or visit our website at flcnj.org. On behalf of Pastor Russ, thanks for listening to today's message on Life Radio WIFI, your inspiration station.